Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read today from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, that they remain no longer simply my words, but instead are transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that they might be met in exactly their place of need. We pray this, Lord, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the musical Hello, Dolly, Cornelius Hackle is a clerk at Vandergelder Hay and Feed in Yonkers. He is a young man and one who has not experienced very much in his life. And he recognizes that he wants just one day, 1 hour, one moment in which he feels the excitement of living life. So he convinces his assistant clerk, Barnaby Tucker, to leave Yonkers and to go into Manhattan, because it only takes a moment for everything to change. We know this as well, don't we? It only takes a moment for everything to change. I remember a mere 5 months ago on Wednesday, March 11th, I had called a session meeting that we could discuss what to do about COVID-19. We made a decision to temporarily close the church to in-person worship. And 2 days later, the city of Philadelphia also made a decision and put a shelter-in-place order on the books. It only took a moment and everything changed. And here we are, 5 months later, still under this shelter in place order, still worshiping remotely. And we don't know when things will change again, and how they will change, and what being together will look like. We only know that we are here in this new reality that is not so new anymore. We do know, however, that change happens, and it can happen in a moment. This, I think, is one of the primary lessons in our scripture today. It comes on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000, the one that we studied last week, and the first word in the lesson is immediately. After the meal is finished, after the people have completed eating and it is time for them to go away, Jesus immediately tells the disciples to get in the boat and go across the lake shore while he dismisses the crowds. Now, this word immediately is oikios, and it occurs 58 times in the Gospels. 58 times. However, 41 of those times are in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is not only big on using the word immediately, you feel the immediacy of the Gospel in Mark's book, but it's also in the present tense. So that whole sense of everything being right now is huge in Mark. But the other three Gospels only have the word immediately used 17 times, three of which are in these 11 verses. That says something, doesn't it? Why does Matthew find this passage so immediate? What does it have to say to us about the immediacy of the moment? Well, first, Jesus sends the disciples away, yes? And then he goes up on the mountain to pray after dismissing the crowds. Meanwhile, almost as soon as the disciples have left the lakeshore, the wind comes up against them, and they begin to be battered and tossed about by the waves. Now, on the one hand, when Jesus dismissed them, they may have had a little bit of dismay. They may have felt like, well, hey, we were supposed to have time together, and now you're sending us off. But on the other hand, most of them are fishermen, and maybe it was a relief. Remember, they have worked all day long. They thought they were going to arrive on this hilltop and be able to have rest and refreshment time with Jesus, and instead, all they've done is work. And then Jesus says, get in the boat, go across to the lakeshore, the other side. And they could be feeling, phew, we get to do something we know, something we're comfortable with, something that's easy. And then it's not. Now, sure, they know how to deal with wind and with waves, but I'm not sure they really wanted to. And now, not only have they dealt with wind and waves, but they've been dealing with it for hours. The scripture tells us that Jesus comes walking on the water toward them in the midst of this storm in the early morning. So they have been fighting this storm, battling this storm for a long time. They, I would imagine, must be exhausted. And then they see something coming toward them on the water. And they're terrified. Okay, we've been beat up for hours now. We worked like crazy for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then we got in this boat and we've worked like crazy for hours and hours and hours and hours, and now some supernatural thing is coming after us? What is it? And Jesus calls out to them, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but I can relate to the disciples in this passage. I am exhausted. This is exhausting, this time of pandemic, no matter what your personal situation is, whether you live alone like I do, whether you're in a family and you're together 24/7 or a couple, this whole how do I get to the grocery store, how do I be safe, all of the hysteria around what happens next and how it happens and what's safe and what do we do and what do we not and what's the information and what's the misinformation and how do we decide? It's exhausting. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that whatever your own circumstance, the particularities of it are exhausting as well, worrying, confusing, challenging. I've had a lot of discussions with other clergy about how hard it is to be a pastor in this time. Our whole job description and the way in which we work has completely changed. The Reverend Wally Fletcher, who is a minister member of this presbytery and also a pastoral psychotherapist, calls the uniqueness of what ministers are dealing with as moral stress. And indeed, as I have talked to other ministers in the presbytery, as I've gathered on Zoom for a variety of different meetings, this moral stress is apparent. And what that is this challenge of determining whether or not we are meeting you where you are, whether or not we are able to be the pastor that you need us to be in this challenging circumstance. When we preach, is it reaching you? Are we touching those places where you're struggling in a way that's helpful? Ordinarily, I would know right after worship because you would come past me. We would shake hands. You would say, "Oh, pastor, such and such really spoke to me," or, "Oh, pastor, I didn't really understand what you meant there," or whatever. We would have a conversation in fellowship time. We would be together in Bible studies, in other gatherings, and have an opportunity to look in each other's eyes and see where we are emotionally and how our ministries are or are not being helpful. So last week, when I called a parishioner, and he told me, "I need you to know, and I'm a conservative guy, how much I appreciate your ministry. I really like the way that you exegete scripture. I really have appreciated the programs that you put into place around social justice. And I also really feel like you care about me and about my family. As a matter of fact, I want you to know that you're the best pastor I have had since I was a little boy." Now, I don't tell you this story to toot my own horn. Believe me, I know I have my detractors. I tell you this story because in the midst of my struggles and my challenges with the moral stress of what it is to be a pastor in this time, in this situation, in this pandemic, this man was Jesus to me, saying, "Take heart. Do not fear. It is I." And you see, the thing is I think Jesus is out there for all of us in this same way. I mean, it may be me coming to you, and maybe you coming to me. We might be the person of Jesus to someone else, or someone else might be to us. And we are so much in the midst of our own personal storm that we can't see it. Just like the disciples, they don't recognize Jesus. They think he's a ghost. They are so wrapped up in their own wind and weather and storm that they don't see him. Even when he says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." They don't recognize him. That's the second time the word "immediately" is used in this passage, is in his response to them. They want to know, who is that? And he's right there. And then there's the third time. Because Peter says, if it is you, call me to come out on the water. Even after Jesus has said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Oh, is it really? Sometimes we don't see Jesus when Jesus is right in our midst. So he does. Jesus calls Peter to come to him. And Jesus, and Peter, he takes the risk. Now that's another thing, right? How many of us right now, we want to stay in the boat? We don't want to take any risks in this time of pandemic. And what are risks that are really following Jesus and not risks that are stupid? How do we know? Jesus calls Peter, and Peter steps out of the boat and begins walking on the water. He is focused on the Lord. And then he loses focus, and he focuses on the wind, on the storm, on the crashing of the waves, and he gets afraid, and he begins to sink. Save me, he cries out. And you know what happens? Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls him up, lifts him into the boat and says, oh, you have little faith. But as soon as he's in the boat, as soon as they're in the boat together, the wind calms, the sea is smooth. So here's the thing. Jesus is with us. Jesus is right here with us all the time. And all we got to do is see, speak, call out, Lord, save me. And immediately, everything can change. It only takes a moment. When we are in the midst of whatever it is, that maelstrom that is the particularity of each one of our situations, all we have to do is cry out. And Jesus is there immediately, oikios, in the moment. Our eyes need to be open to see him. But he's there. Cornelius Hackle and Barnaby Tucker do go in to New York City, to Manhattan from Yonkers. And they meet a couple of women. They go out dancing at the Harmonia Gardens. They have a wild and crazy and wonderful evening. And they sing a song, It Only Takes a Moment. Now, this is about falling in love. It's about life changing in a moment. But I love the last line of it. It only takes a moment to be loved your whole life long. That is what I believe happens in this scripture lesson and in our lives. When we cry out, Jesus, save me. In that moment in which we cry out, in that moment immediately thereafter, in which Jesus reaches out and catches us, we are loved. Not just for that moment, but for our whole lives long. Amen.